broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, Ben, the plantation course has all the protection you could possibly need. Yes, good morning. It is Saturday, January 23rd, 2021, and this is the Golf Club on the radio and streaming live. You can listen to us at radiogolfclub.com. It's also a podcast. The show is kept there so that you can listen to it whenever you would like to listen to it. Got a great show for you. Diana DeLucia, founder, CEO, publisher, Golf Kitchen is joining us. She went to Round Hill Club and Baltrizol, overnighting and dining. She's going to share. We're going to vicariously go with Diana on her journey. Jim Nugent, founder and publisher, Global Golf Post, is with us. Dr. Jonathan Carlson, founder, CEO, and technician, Hawaii Pain and Spine. A little bit about Tiger Woods and what's going on with his latest surgery. Mark Rolfing, analyst and on-course reporter, Golf Channel. Of course, he's at the Mitsubishi Electric at Halwalalai. It's the beginning of the Champions Tour, and boy, we've got a great leaderboard. And then we've got the LPGA playing, and guess who? Annika Sorenstam is one of the celebrities playing with the LPGA stars. So we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. Bayview Golf Course, the best value in golf in beautiful Kaneohe. Dr. Carlson's Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua. MD Restoration, floods, broken water pipes, 24/7 cleanup. And RCM Construction for concrete spalling repairs.
And I forgot to tell Kevin that it's not so sunny. We've got a high surf advisory for the east-facing shores, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, Maui. High surf advisory for the north and west-facing shores, Kauai, Niihau, Oahu, Molokai, north-facing shores of Maui, and a wind advisory with those winds, and they are blowing east, southeast, 20 to 30 miles per hour, gusting to 50 miles per hour at times, and I could hear it on the broadcast on Golf Channel yesterday as I was listening to Mark Rolfing do the color and commentary at Halwalalai. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Yeah, we were really caught off guard. Our announce booth is right out by the 18th tee, which is a very exposed place, and it's kind of a, you know, it's a temporary structure, obviously. Part of it's wood, part of it's canvas, and it sounded like we were on a sailboat, kind of, where the, you know, mast keeps moving around, and it was rocking and rolling, so it'll be interesting to see what it's like out there today.
Oh, yeah. Gusts of 50. I thought, gee, do you guys still play when it's 30 to 50 mile an hour gusts?
You know, there was a year, I think it was maybe about 3 years ago, where they actually canceled the final round because of high winds. I'll never forget, because Fred Couples, who has never won this tournament over here, bogeyed the last hole. And he had been tied for the lead. He bogeyed the last hole, so Bernard Langer had a one-shot lead going into the final round, and then they canceled the final round, and Freddie lost.
Oh, that's not the way to lose, is it? I mean, I had a chance. Well, tied for the lead right now, we've got Jerry Kelly and Darren Clark. In second, it's Retief Goosen. And tied for fourth, it's Fred Couples. He shot a 63 after a 71. What happened with Freddie?
Well, I don't know. He played terrible, I thought, on Thursday. Didn't make any putts at all. He's, you know, Freddie's, particularly this time of year, he's like a bear. He kind of goes into hibernation in the winter, and then, you know, all of a sudden he comes out of it, and here he is at Halwalalai, and he seems, you know, he kind of sometimes seems a little groggy to me. And, you know, trying to get focused because he's been in hibernation. And so it usually takes him a round to get under his belt. He did. He kind of sleepwalked around a little bit on Thursday in the round, but then yesterday he looked tremendous. And I thought he got fortunate because, you know, there was a point where Retief Goosen had a 3-shot lead and Freddie was 5 or 6 behind. And it looked like, you know, that Freddie probably wouldn't have a chance. But Goosen, you know, made a couple bogeys right at the end there and brought everybody back into the game. And so it's a lot closer now. I thought maybe Goosen might run away with it.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, 13 under for the leaders, 11 under for Retief Goosen. Freddie Couples at 10 under, tied with Kevin Sutherland. And then there's Bernhard Langer, 9 under. And I loved what he said. There's always room for improvement. At the age of 63, all of us, it doesn't matter how old, right? There's always room for improvement.
You know, yesterday, I'll tell you the story. After we got off the air, we did a little thing for Golf Central. And then I got in my car and drove back to the TV compound, and there's a shortcut where you go through the driving range. And I kind of just looked, and there's no way there was going to be anybody there. It was getting dark. And so I just took my cart and I started going right up kind of the middle of the driving range, and I see this ball land. And I looked up, and here over in the corner of the range is one guy with a caddy, and he's out there practicing, and it's Bernhard Langer.
Unbelievable. And
yeah, to say, you know what, I'm 63, but I can still get better. Who in the world, what professional athlete do you think actually truly believes he can get better at the age of 63? Langer does.
Yeah, absolutely. Never gives up, always. And he looks the same physically today, and maybe even better shape today than he did 20 years ago.
Yeah, he's in fabulous shape. And, you know, you think about him, this guy, he overcame the yips. And I'm not talking about small case of yips. I'm talking about large cases of yips. He's done that twice in his career. He's won 2 Masters, you know, with completely different putting strokes. You know, one with a big long putter kind of claw grip and another fairly conventionally. So he has battled back from a lot of lows in his career. And it's just amazing to me. You look at the guy, you would think he was 40 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. He's so fit. And he has, I mean, it speaks to trying to keep your weight the same your entire life. And that's what he's done. You know, he's always been the same weight. And keeping yourself, the muscles toned, he's doing great. Now, let's go to the top. Jerry Kelly. Jerry Kelly has been a force on the Champions Tour. He's 13 under, 64, 67. How old is Jerry, if I may ask?
You know, he's probably 55, somewhere in that vicinity. He's another guy, though, that's kept himself in great shape. And, you know, he played great at Sony last week. Two of these guys. Well, actually, more than 2. Furyk made the cut over there, too. But both Kelly and KJ Choi played 3 really good rounds at Sony. Kelly, I think, shot 74 or 75 on Sunday to kind of fade out of it. But I like guys that have come over and spent a little time, that have gotten acclimated to, you know, the time change and the kind of grass we have over here and all that. And Kelly's one of those guys. He's like an island boy these days. He loves coming out here. He'll stay here as long as he can. I'm over at Kohana Iki staying this week. And, in fact, I'm down here now, and I saw a couple of your friends last night, Ben Crenshaw. I told him I'd be on the show, and he said, Danielle! But Matt Kuchar is here, too. And more we're seeing guys that are coming, you know, to Hawaii and spend a lot of time. Kuchars are going to be here for over a month.
Fantastic. That is, you know, that's what we like to see. People being so comfortable. Well, Kohana Iki is an awesome place to stay. I mean, you could get lost there for maybe 6 months if you... I just don't want to go. I want to stay here. I love the grass. I love the scenery. I love the 3... I don't know what they are. They're pit stops, but on a scale with the martinis shaken, not stirred, if you want. I mean, there's a whole bar in each one, every form of candy bar, every form of protein bar, every form of ice cream bar, and then a bunch of healthy stuff there too. What do I take?
The healthy stuff is the stuff that always remains too. They call them comfort stations, by the way, because there is a lot of comfort once you get into that little facility.
And then there's somebody cooking for you too, if you want. I'm just going to stay here. I'll get going later. I'll watch the sunset. So this is interesting. I want to talk to you a little bit about this setup on the Champions Tour, because someone said the Champions Tour is probably really happy that Phil Mickelson on the PGA Tour missed the cut. He shot all pars yesterday. I think it was the first time in his career that he missed the cut. And people are probably applauding. Yay, Phil missed the cut. Yay. Because, of course, when he plays on the Champions Tour, he's like some kind of a whirling dervish the way he takes them on. What is the difference between that PGA Tour setup and the Champions Tour setup that makes it so good for Phil?
Well, you know, the fairways are wider. The pin positions are not as difficult. The pressure is not as cranked up. There's no doubt in my mind that if Phil played the Champions Tour full time, he would win, you know, 5, 6, 7, you know, in that number of tournaments every year. It's interesting. He had shot 2 over in the opening round in Palm Springs. And I said on the air on Thursday's broadcast, you know, geez, I'll bet Phil is sitting there right now in his room watching golf from Hawaii thinking, I'm wondering if maybe I ought to think a little bit more about playing that event. You know, there's a couple of guys. Stricker was in the same boat. I don't know. You know, going back and forth between two tours, Danielle, is really hard. I think Furyk is kind of finding that out a little bit too, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Furyk, you know, pretty much gravitate totally to the Champions Tour. The thing that's motivating Phil Mickelson, he's got two things really that motivate him right now regarding the PGA Tour. Number one is he desperately wants to win a U.S. Open, and it's in San Diego, his hometown, this year. So I think he's got one more big shot at winning a U.S. Open, although it's not likely. And the other thing is he wants to make the Ryder Cup team, and you don't get Ryder Cup points playing on the Champions Tour. So that's Phil's motivation, but I would not be surprised to see Phil Mickelson in the Hawaii field next year.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. And when you say some guys have petered out on the fourth, after you've been playing 3 rounds, don't you get sort of into a rhythm where 1, 2, 3, you're done? And the fourth one, you really have to get up for it if you've been accustomed to those 3 rounds and a cart.
Yeah, I think that there's part of that. I also think that Phil, you know, is a player that always has potential danger ahead of him in the round because he hits it so wildly. So the less holes he plays, the better, you know. And he's an explosive player, and I think probably the shorter the tournament, the better off he's going to be. We'll see. But Phil loves to win golf tournaments, and if he wants to do that, you know, he needs to come out where he can consistently beat guys, and that would not be on the PGA Tour right now.
No. We've got too many hot young guys that are just wailing on that golf club, and not only can they hit it far, they can hit it straight. And Phil said, I was really trying to hit it straight. There was something else that Phil did. He was up against Tony Finau in a long drive competition, and he watched Tony Finau hit, and I guess Tony really could hit and be the longest driver on the tour, according to some people, but he seems to hold back. And he hit a drive so long, Phil said something to the effect of, right now, I'm liking you more than anything. You know, so it was the strangest thing for him to say, but it was so funny about, you know, that power that you've got, young man, really turns me on.
Yeah, he did. You know, Phil loves playing with the younger players. He loves being in competitions like a long drive with a guy like Tony Finau. he sees a lot of himself. I think when he looks at those younger players and reminisces in his own mind, like what it was like for him. Finau is interesting. You talk about his driving length. He does have the ability, Danielle, to create a ball speed of over 200 miles an hour, which is astronomical. The only other player on the PGA Tour that can do that is Bryson DeChambeau now. But Tony does play a geared back game. He is a very conservative player, given his talent. And I wouldn't, I would like to see him actually. I got to figure out how to say this the right way. I would like to see Tony play a little more aggressively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think he has so much talent and he hits it so far. And, you back off these days on the PGA Tour and play safe for a two-putt birdie on a par five. A guy's making an eagle to beat you. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like to see Tony actually crank it up another notch and play a little more aggressively sometimes.
I think that would build his confidence. It would be his game that he's playing, not a conservative game trying to hold himself back. He would be, like, in free form. And it's letting yourself go in free form, not thinking, just doing, where you get your best results in most cases. I mean, there are times when you may go out of your position when you're swinging too hard. We see it with DeChambeau. He gets a little bit too crazy and he loses it. Now that he's got a short game, he can recover from it. But if you hold yourself back, it's like not letting the racehorse have his own head. And you've got to let them have their head guiding them. So it's a work in progress. And Tony is absolutely awesome to watch. And I really hope it'd be great for him to win again. Really great to hear. I'm going to go back to somebody, and it's great to see him winning again. And that's Darren Clark. Seeing him at the top of the leaderboard, I really like Darren. He's got a great personality. And seeing him, he's laid back. It's a really comfortable tour, I think, for him to play on.
It is, and I think for those listening today, if you watch today's telecast when we go on the air here at 2 o'clock up at Hualalai, the thing I want you to watch about Darren Clark is he is a man who is obviously overweight. He is a large man, and he's a couple of times in his career lost a lot of weight, gotten smaller. It sort of didn't work for him. But even as big as Darren Clark is, watch his flexibility. You can see why he hits the ball so far. He doesn't hit it so far because he's got all this mass of a body. He hits it because he makes such a gigantic turn away from the ball. He is very fast with the club head through the ball, and it just shows me how important it is for people, especially those of us who are over 50, to maintain your flexibility. That is the single most important thing for senior golfers. Stay as flexible as you can. And Darren Clark's flexibility for a large man is amazing.
It is. It is. And he, you know, he's like a big bear. He's great. He's got this great smile and he's wonderful to watch. It's kind of like people say men should watch the LPGA and men should watch really the Champions Tour. The LPGA, but for the distances the LPGA hitters play it, that's what a really good guy playing might be able to hit. Might not, because the LPGA, they're really good. And we're going to take a break and come back with Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel. He's going to be on TV this afternoon at 2 o'clock. That is Hawaii time. You're starting at 2 o'clock. And that's the PGA Champions at Hualalai. That's the Mitsubishi Electric Championship at Hawaii. It's the open event, the opening event on the Champions Tour season. We're going to talk about the opening event on the LPGA season right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU 2200i generators for $999.
All fuel, oil, and lines, 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale, the month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to HawaiiPain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports. He'll be on at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Hawaii time, Champions Tour, Hualalai, Mitsubishi Electric. It's all happening today. And the winds are going to be strong, so you're going to want to watch how these guys play down in the wind. LPGA, they're getting underway this morning at 8:30, also on Golf Channel, then switching over to NBC. So the first is at for an hour on Golf Channel, and then you go over to NBC. And that's great that the LPGA is on the one of the networks, which is something a commissioner has been trying to get going. So we're looking at an incredible leaderboard with Danielle Kang, Nelly Korda, Inji Chun, Brooke Henderson, Jessica Korda, Gabby Lopez, Angela Stanford, Cheyenne Knight, was her birthday yesterday, Lexi Thompson, Celine Boutier, Georgia Hall, all in the top 10. That is an extraordinary leaderboard, but it's an interesting format because each player, they're playing with celebrities in this format. What do you think about it, Mark Rolfing?
Well, I think anything, Danielle, that gets the LPGA more exposure from a television standpoint is a good thing. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they have a lot of really good, high-profile celebrities in that field, including Annika, and that they ended up on NBC. It is so important for the LPGA to get network television. If you take a look at both the LPGA and the Champions Tour, which is in its first week of the year, they are much more susceptible, those two tours, to COVID pandemic-related problems than the PGA Tour is. And I'm not talking about actually contracting the virus. I'm talking about how COVID affects their tours. Neither one of those two tours, Champions or LPGA, have a robust schedule at the beginning of the year. And the main reason that they have more challenges than the PGA Tour is the PGA Tour is based on way more television money and network television into the PGA Tour coffers. So they have more financial stability. The Champions Tour and LPGA events rely much more on local revenues to keep their tournaments afloat, especially the LPGA. Their pro-ams are so valuable to sponsors that when you go to places now and you can't have a pro-am or you can't have spectators on site, it really has more of a negative impact on the LPGA and Champions Tour, and that concerns me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why Commissioner Juan wanted so much for a network to start broadcasting. So, you know, Golf Channel gives us the golf folks who always tune in for tournaments. What we want is to expand. And look how good golf has done during COVID. On the mainland, certainly. We're starting to see some of our courses in Hawaii, like Pearl Country Club is sold out. Makaha East is sold out. So a lot of people are playing, even though it's going to be windy with gusts to 50 miles per hour, possibly. So everybody's out and getting their fresh air, and that's great. But we want people, more people, to get into the game and stick with the game, and you can get them by going to the networks. So you mentioned Annika, and she was playing yesterday with Nelly Korda. And Annika said something like, and Korda shot 6 birdie 66. She's with Danielle Kang working. And Annika said, Nelly drove it beautifully, hit a lot of good shots. I actually felt like she probably could have had a few shots better. That's how good she played. And then Korda repaid the compliment by saying, it was really good. Honestly, she still has it. She has her touch around the greens. It was honestly surreal that you can still compete at her age.
Well, yeah, you can still compete, but frankly, she's not going to go out there and beat Nelly Korda on a regular basis. And that's why I think it's important for the LPGA to find a format where people like Annika can still put their games on display for the golf fans that want to see her. The LPGA really doesn't have anything comparable to the Champions Tour. They have a small series of events called Legends events, but there's only a few of them. And, you know, you can't expect Annika to tee off in regular LPGA events,
yes,
15 or 20 times a year,
yes, if
she doesn't have a chance of beating Nelly Korda. But yet people still want to see her play golf. So that's why I like finding formats for the LPGA that would allow people to still watch Annika play golf.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Lorena Ochoa do it, for example.
Oh, Lorena Ochoa would be so cool to see back out on the golf course. Annika and Ochoa. Maybe when Lorena's kids get old enough. You know, she's such a mom. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that she commits herself to the number one priority in her life. And when it was golf, absolute commitment to golf, absolute. And then when it was getting married and having a family, absolute commitment to the family. So she's like, she's on one track. Annika could do, everything. She's got her kids. She's got her foundation. She's got her business. She's got so many things going on. But I just thought it was so cute that Korda has said that, you know, at her age, she can still, you don't lose it, you know. And Annika kind of laughed and took it as a compliment. And that was terrific to see. It was also, it's great to see Cheyenne Knight doing so well as she gets up there. And Lexi Thompson. Now, Lexi's game, we talk about Danielle Kang, the Korda sisters. How about Lexi? She's been a little off. Do you see her coming back? She's 7-under.
Yeah, you know, everything with Lexi, Danielle, comes down to the putter. I have absolutely no concern whatsoever about Lexi's tee to green game. She hits it a mile. She's a great iron player, but her putting can really go sour. She is one of the streakiest putters that I have seen. You know, she can get in a stretch where she makes a few and then she starts making them all. But those stretches don't last as long as they used to. And the valleys in her putting, you know, get pretty deep these days. She's tried all kinds of methods. She's done everything that Michelle Wee tried to do with her putting. I've seen her actually use a sort of a semi-tabletop stroke like Michelle did, and I've seen her standing way far away from the putts where her hands were way out in front of her and her eyes weren't even over the ball, and she just looks so unnatural putting to me these days that I think she she would benefit by looking at Rory McIlroy and seeing what he did. He became a very wooden kind of putter, very stiff, very mechanical, kind of like Jordan Spieth has done in a way. And when Rory went back to being the natural and having his natural stroke again and almost not caring, just standing up and hitting these putts, they all seemed to go in.
It's fabulous. Mark Rolfing, thank you so much for checking in, and being with us for 3 weeks in a row. This has been really wonderful, doing the Aloha Swing with the Century Tournament of Champions, Sony Open in Hawaii, and now the Mitsubishi Electric at Hualalai, and the start of the Champions Tour. Great to have you on the show, and thanks for the preview on the LPGA as well, with them starting their season too. It's great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Danielle. And as you know, the Golf Channel is moving its headquarters to Stamford, Connecticut from Florida. So believe it or not, I will be going to Connecticut next month in the middle of winter, and I'll be in the studio there for a few weeks. And let's make a date. I'll call you from there because it'll be the middle of the day, and we'll do a show from the new Golf Channel studio.
That would be great. Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Mark Rolfing.
Take care, Danielle.
Aloha. Jonathan Carlson, CEO and founder of Hawaii Pain and Spine. He's been on the show, and we've talked extensively about all of the work that has been done on Tiger, including the major fusion surgery that he had just a couple years ago. Now, then he had another something done. It seems like this is the fifth one that he's had something done, and it's all on his spine. And we're going to talk with Dr. Jonathan Carlson, CEO and founder of Hawaii Pain and Spine in Kailua, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Does your golf swing have a hitch in it? Want to learn the finer points to play better? Get the fun back in your game with coaching by Master PGA Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau, Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Academy, a Golf Channel Academy. Claude, a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, you will improve immediately and get fast results. Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or email cbrousseau@waileagolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-856-9458. And have fun counting your birdies.
So what does spalling cracks in your cement walls, the floors, the ceiling have in common with termite infestation? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What's the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they've repaired concrete buildings, garages, decks, concrete, anything, rebar inside. You got to take care of it. You start seeing that rebar, you've got a problem. Stop the leaks, too. Call Richard Mulgram at 864-9520. It's the water that gets inside and expands everything, and then that concrete starts falling off. RCM uses the state-of-the-art solutions. They've got it. RCM, COVID safe. RCM, 864-9520.
thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Tiger Woods, microdiscectomy. On Tuesday of this past week, Tiger Woods let us know that he had recently, air quotes, underwent his fifth microdiscectomy surgery on his back. According to Rory McIlroy, it was on December 23rd, and according to Rory, Woods was back on his feet the next day. In a statement from Woods, the procedure was to remove, a pressurized disc fragment that was giving him pain during the PNC Championship when he played with his son, Charlie. He did look a little stiff, but his shot making was good. So according to Woods, he's looking forward to getting his training going. He's focused on getting back on tour. His doctors say it was a complete success. The fifth surgery, we've got to bring in the man who knows all about this. Jonathan Carlson, doctor, CEO and founder, Hawaii Pain and Spine in Kailua. Welcome into the clubhouse, Dr. Carlson.
Thanks so much for having me back in the clubhouse, Danielle.
Absolutely. Now, when you heard that Tiger Woods had another surgery done on his back, what was your first thought?
I mean, honestly, if it wasn't Tiger Woods, it was any of my patients, I'd be safe. Surgery on the spine, same area, close to the same area, number five. What is he doing? What? You know, he's a high-level athlete. He's in much better shape than, you know, I would think most of us. So maybe, just maybe, this is the right answer for him. But having five spine surgeries in the lumbar spine, it's just tough. You know, I think sometimes patients, they get focused on, well, I got to just get in there and fix it. And so do surgeons. And I'm not anti-spine surgeon. I do minimally invasive procedures in the spine, including discectomies. But and that's endoscopic guided. So it's not the same as what he had. He had an open procedure, as far as I understand. So I'm not a neurosurgeon. I am an interventional pain and spine specialist. But, you know, it's tough because I think our bodies are often smarter than that. Often we have more and more surgery in different areas, in particular him, the lumbar spine, the low back. It just creates more scar tissue. And I think it can create adhesions, and that can create problems around the nerves. And sometimes patients come out with a win and they say, oh, you're wrong, Dr. Carlson. But I see these patients after these spine surgeries, I see these patients even just after one spine surgery, and it ends up being an issue. Now, the thing about Tiger that I think that's interesting is he had three discectomies, and then ultimately he had a fusion at L5S1 in April of 2017. So a discectomy is a very simple procedure where they make a small incision, and they go pull out disc fragments, and hopefully that stops this pressurized disc from compressing on the nerve. Often the reason why they do this is because the patient's having sciatica. They're having a nerve root, and the symptoms are typically shooting down the leg, numbness, tingling, burning sensations, electrical, shooting down into the back, buttocks, acolyteria, down in the leg and foot. Not always. Sometimes it can be interrupted, and they'll go in to remove part of the disc and hopefully allow that to heal, and that nerve won't be pinched or compressed. But in his particular case, surgery number four was a fusion. It's called an ALIF, anterior lumbar interbody spine fusion. And they went in from the front at L5S1, the front of the stomach area, and they fused it. They placed a cage at L5S1 bone graft. And that was in April 2017. As you know, he did pretty good. Again, hey, he won the Masters in 2019. So
yes.
You can't argue proof of concept. But he went on to have this this next discectomy, and I can talk a little bit more about that and why I think he had that done, if you'd like.
Yes, of course. You know, one of the questions I had, and maybe this is what you're thinking too, if you could include this, a disc fragment. I mean, that seems so strange. What, did a piece come off the disc? What's a disc fragment?
It'd be difficult to know unless I saw his MRI, which I scoured the internet. And it's always hard when you look at the internet because you don't know if you're actually looking at the images or not. disc fragment, or what seems to be, he said pressurized disc. So sometimes the disc can break off and it can actually start to put compression on the nerves. It runs in the spinal canal. Or what may have happened with this pressurized disc is the disc itself started to bulge out. Now, he had the fusion at L5S1. The challenge with the fusion is if you fuse, Something that's supposed to be mobile, it can put stress on the other levels. So the lowest level in most patients is L5-S1. The next level, they said adjacent segment disease is the issue that started happening. So when you fuse, this L5-S1 is fused with bone graft and cage and plates and screws. It doesn't move there anymore. So it begins to put more pressure and increase mobility, you could argue, at that upper level, which I was assuming to be L4-5. And so what I think was happening is the disc was starting to bulge out at that level because of increased mobility, because of the fusion at the lower level. And that started pushing up against the nerve. I think that's why they said the pressurized disc. But it might have been a fragment, too. So if part of that disc broke off and started even more so pushing up against the nerves that supply the strength and sensation to his back, buttock, and legs, then they would go in very simply and remove part of that disc. Again, I don't know if that'd be the answer for everybody. So I just think of the golfers that might be listening saying, well, you know, I'm fused, or I have issues with the disc that's pinching a nerve in my low back. Sometimes the answer is doing a fusion, or depending on the severity of things, and that's usually the most severe, but we'll go and do a microdiscectomy, or the spine surgeon friends will, sometimes I do, and remove that pressure on the nerve. But before that, I would do things that, you know, I mentioned, I like what Zhun said earlier about Darren Clark, is stay flexible. We think of that Chinese proverb that says that you're young as your back is flexible. I think that's so key with our amateur players and players that play for fun, is stay flexible. But there's simpler things you can do, therapy, chiropractic care, medications, and then some things that myself and colleagues do in my specialty is epidural steroid injections. Well, maybe that pressurized disc is not that big of an issue, and you can do an epidural steroid injection where it places medicines on the nerves and in that disc area to calm things down. So there's a lot of options. It isn't just go to microdiscectomy and remove the fragment.
Yeah, yeah, and the calming things down, it's like a swelling because it's been irritated so much. Does the steroid decrease that swelling and help take the pain away?
It does, and some patients ask me, well, does it make the disc brand new? It's kind of likened to the knee and the cartilage in the knee. Once that starts to break down and you have arthritis in that area, it's really hard to, really you can't grow new cartilage per se. I mean, if it's damaged, it's damaged. You could maybe have healing in that area, and so that's really what I think of. It's decreasing inflammation and hopefully promoting healing in that area of that nerve that's been irritated. It doesn't necessarily grow new disc, but the body remodels in that area, and it allows that nerve to heal, and hopefully you won't have the sciatic symptoms. I think with Tiger, his back was stiffening up, and you could see when he's playing with his son Charlie there, and I love that 10-foot birdie he did on the 10th hole there. I thought that was great. Says it, man, like maybe like father, like son. But he was stiffening up, so I can't help but think that maybe another part of what could have been done. And again, I don't have his MRI films. He doesn't answer my cell calls anymore. I'm just kidding. I don't have Tiger's cell phone. If I was able to talk to him, I could learn more. But knowing what I've read and seeing what Rory McIlroy posted and all the different details that I've read about it, I can't help but think he doesn't just have sciatic or nerve fragment or pressurized disc pinching up against a nerve or pushing up against a nerve in his spine. But I think maybe that he has also discogenic pain, that pressurized pain that you can have with coughing, sneezing, straining to have a bowel movement, sometimes hitting a bump the road. That might be a disc we call discogenic pain, and that's sometimes because stiffness in the back. And so I wonder if Tiger might have also benefited from some other treatments that we can do if we think the disc itself is causing pain. Because he said he had stiffness in the back. And again, if that's a component, which I wouldn't be surprised of because he's fused at a level, there's other types of treatments we can do to help with discogenic pain where we can place a probe and cauterize and place lasers within the disc and decrease ablate the nerves within the disc, called a biaculoplasty. Or we can even do regenerative medicine where we place a stem cell, a special kind of stem cell. Now, most doctors would tell you, oh, the stem cell, it hasn't been really proven. There are now new studies that have just been published that talk about doing intradiscal stem cell, and that actually shows favorable results. And what we call, many say, the best types of studies are randomized controlled trials. And so we're starting to have good evidence now that maybe regenerative medicine or stem cell might be something to help with discogenic pain. But I don't know. I don't know if that option was talked about with Tiger Woods or not.
You know, some of the PGA Tour players have actually years ago gone to Germany for types of therapy that I think you're talking about, where there was stem cell therapy done, and in its very, you know, beginning stages, and it was experimental, so to speak. You know, it hadn't been proven, but they wanted to give it a try. And if I'm not mistaken, one of them may have been Freddie Couples, because he's had so much trouble with his back for so many years. You know, one tries just about anything. But I want to ask you, when you say you probe, is that something that you would have to have surgery, or would that be in a surgical center where, you know, you're in, you're out for a few minutes because you're, operating in a sense that, well, you tell us.
Yeah, no. And it's a good question. I do recall, I'd have to fact check that, but I think it was Freddie Couples. But yes, a lot of patients had been going to other parts of the world to have these experimental things done. I think, and again, this is still very early stages, so I don't recommend the listeners to just run to your pain doc and, man, I have to have stem cell in my disc. It's something that we're slowly beginning to develop evidence where it's so not so much experimental. In this context of Couples, it might have been an answer with stem cell. The problem before with stem cell is that we would inject it in the disc, and some patients it'd work really great, and other patients it wouldn't. So the new studies have shown in this new type of disc by a company called Vivex or Vidisc, which is typically done, to answer your question, in a surgery center or hospital. In some cases, it might be able to be done in office in a fluoroscopy X-ray suite, but it can be done actually in all three settings. But in this particular case, the stem cell would not stay within the disc, and so they've developed this matrix to keep it within the disc and allow it to promote healing in that area. And they actually took it to test by doing a randomized controlled trial where they had a control patient and they had a patient getting the Vidus stem cell with a special cellular matrix to hold it within the disc. The patients actually did much better than the control, and that's the best type of evidence. You know, you talk about the COVID vaccine and what the evidence behind it. Well, that's exactly what Pfizer, Moderna did, and BioNTech. They actually did a randomized controlled trial. Now, I know some patients are saying, we need many more years of this, but that really, the RCT is really the best thing to look at initially when we're seeing if something actually has evidence-based medicine to help get a patient better. In this particular case, whether it be Freddie Couples or maybe down the road Tiger Woods, this is something that could help potentially patients that have discogenic pain or their discs are breaking down. Again, I got to be careful. It's not the panacea or magic bullet of all things disc pain, but it is an option after you failed those more conservative treatments that I talked about.
Yeah, that's good. And when you go in doing not the stem cell surgery necessarily, but when you actually go in, let's say, with the steroid injections or with other less invasive techniques, there is no real opening of the body. It's something that can be done in office or in a surgery suite, and then you get to go home the same day and recover at home.
Yeah, I mean, literally, in the stem cell injections, to be clear, there's no incisions made. Now, some neurosurgeons and some spine surgeons, when they're doing their surgery and they're doing their microdiscectomy, some of them will actually do regenerative medicine and inject a stem cell in that area. Not everybody, and that evidence isn't really been shown to be consistent, so I have to be careful here. We still want to stay in the context of evidence-based medicine, but both options have been exhausted, and we do have some evidence showing that that might help. That might be an option to explore, especially maybe in the case of Tiger Woods, where he's had four discectomies and a spinal fusion. You know, I think you really kind of throwing the kitchen sink and everything else in there, it might be worth exploring a regenerative medicine option. It's not a benign thing in the context of there can be some inflammatory reactions that happen, although those are very rare. But I would say of all the things that we inject, steroid and stem cell, it's still a pretty, and even PRP, platelet-rich plasma, it's still a pretty benign injection. It's minimally invasive. It literally is a small needle, not much bigger than the needle that we use for a flu shot. Outpatient procedure takes 2 to 3 to 4 or 5 minutes to do. maybe up to 10. And it's outpatient, so you're in and out, and you can do it in an office suite as well. And so it's great because there are options that are available without having to go through the big traditional spine surgeries, such as the fusions that I've mentioned earlier.
Fantastic. Jonathan Carlson, MD, CEO, and founder, Hawaii Pain and Spine. You have to come back. We need to talk a little bit about some of the shoulder and foot problems, maybe knees, get into some of the other issues that people have who want to get back into the game of golf. We've been focusing on the back pain because that's the primary issue, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who have some other problems that they'd like to hear about. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Can't wait. Thank you so much for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. Jonathan Carlson, MD, CEO, founder, Hawaii Pain and Spine in Kailua. The number is 452-1379.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What does spalling and termites have in common? Spalling cracks in your cement walls, your floors, your ceiling. Well, they both just get worse, and they're a lot more expensive to fix if you leave it alone, if you ignore it. You think, oh, this is going to be so expensive. Well, if you leave it alone long enough, the whole lanai could come off. So what's the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they've repaired concrete buildings, garages, decks, stopped leaks. Call Richard Mulgram, 864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. RCM Construction, 864-9520.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Jim Nugent is founder and publisher, Global Golf Post. The online golf magazine comes into your mailbox Mondays, and all you do is go to globalgolfpost.com, enter your email address, and voila. If you want something that has extended writing and no ads, then you go to Global Golf Post Plus, okay, and click on that. There's a small fee, but you have these excellent articles, and Jim is here to talk to us about looking back at 2020 and the incredible work done by three ingredients that make the golf industry tick on the ground. The PGA Tour, the broadcasters like Golf Channel, NBC, CBS, and the PGA of America. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jim.
Danielle, thank you for having me on today, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. It is truly incredible. Now, when I went to see all of the Global Golf Post coverage of this COVID year that we've had, it was interesting. You started with getting the game back on the air, the PGA Tour, that is, what they had to do. Why was that the first story?
We became aware last year of an extraordinary situation, and that was the level of cooperation and collaboration that was taking place between the leaders of the game around the world. So Keith Pelley at the European Tour, Martin Slummers of the RNA, Mike Wan at the LPGA, Mike Davis at the USGA, Seth Waugh from the PGA of America, and of course Jay Monahan at the PGA Tour. And from the very beginning, from the minute that the golf shut down at the Players' Championship, these gentlemen began to communicate, to cooperate, and to collaborate in a way that's never been seen in the game before. And as a result, they were really able to salvage the year 2020 during a challenging pandemic.
You know, that's interesting, because when you talk about it's never been done before, they've never cooperated on this level, it shows that they could really work out a schedule that doesn't compete with one another so much. The cooperation is so critical. Did they work together on creating the guidelines they would follow, or was that all CDC?
The CDC was certainly involved, and the PGA Tour was out in front on that. And I think that the other organizations all took their lead from the PGA Tour because they came back first, and they had, you know, the tours in a position where it's got the most resources, largely financial, to do something like that. And so the PGA Tour led the way, and everybody else kind of drafted off of their learning and their experiences.
Yeah, and it was really incredible, because do you remember back when, we were so excited that we're going to see Seminole and four players in live golf on television. There was the first sporting event, you know, and it was a charity fundraiser, which was fantastic. But I thought it was, you know, we were so starved for some kind of escape, sporting event that didn't have to do with COVID, and watching guys play. Do you remember that?
I remember it, and the thing I remember most about it was just how many non-golfers tuned in to watch that, because as you say, we were just sports starved. There was nothing else on television. There was no, you know, if you go back to that time period, there was no college basketball, there was no NBA, everything else had shut down, and all of a sudden golf is being played, and it's being played at all places, Seminole, with four really very likable young men. So that was really an important turning point in the recovery of golf last year.
Yeah, and that brought the broadcast industry into the mix of how they were going to pull off this feat of covering live golf with all of the COVID problems in place. How did they get brought in?
You just can't plan a schedule, a global schedule, without bringing TV into it on both sides of the pond. Here in America, it was largely CBS and NBC that they had to coordinate with. And over in Europe, it was Sky Sports and the BBC. And, you know, those are the people that pay for much of the golf that we see. But also, they had to rejigger their schedule. If you think about this one example, the Masters was played in November, and typically CBS broadcasts that. But CBS in November also has very significant football commitments. And so the juggling act that took place that involved television was every bit as critical to bringing the game back as anything else that took place.
Yeah, and they also had to collaborate, right? CBS had to figure out how they were going to have the Masters and football on, and what did they do to accomplish that?
Well, I'm not, you know, there certainly was an equal amount of collaboration between the television networks. As you recall, one of the outcomes of that was that Fox Sports essentially left the USGA and handed the rights off to NBC, returning them to NBC. There was that kind of collaboration at a very, very high level over very, very visible properties that was an outgrowth of the pandemic. So just as there was cooperation and collaboration between the leaders of the game, there was a similar degree of cooperation and collaboration among television partners around the world.
Yeah, yeah. And seeing, you know, the accommodation made so that the Masters could be seen it was critical. It was really, really important. The Masters in November was an amazing thing to see, too. And I think the PGA of America, and we're talking right now about, you know, us sitting on our sofas watching television, and the guys who are playing golf and wanting to get back on the golf course, who for the most part make a whole lot of money, and a lot of corporations who make a whole lot of money, just trying to get their games going back. But they're on the PGA of America side, we're talking about thousands and thousands of men and women whose livelihood was completely robbed when COVID struck. And the PGA of America, I just salute them for the work they did. Great article you wrote in Global Golf Post magazine, Jim Nugent and your staff putting this together about what the PGA of America did, and Seth Waugh, Susie Whaley, of course, too, being involved. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, Seth Waugh was involved in all the discussions that we were just referring to with the leaders of the game, but he had a unique challenge distinct from the other five that he was dealing with, in that he has a 29,000 member organization, the PGA of America, and that organization was really challenged by the pandemic in March and April. Countless members of the PGA found themselves out of work for a period of time, you know, when golf was kind of declared not safe or not good. Obviously, that changed in over the months. But his membership was really in a bad place. And he and Susie and the staff and the other officers came up with an industry relief program that really made a difference to the people who work on the ground at golf courses, at private clubs, at resorts. It's one of the great things that came of the whole pandemic experience.
Yeah, and the procedures for reintroduction to the game and the business of golf, it's three pages, you know, of what should be done, what must be done, what must be limited to, what... It's a whole new business model that they had to come up with in weeks so that they could get, you know, the golfers back on the golf course. And in Hawaii, we were lucky. We had golf for a while. Then it was declared we can't have golf. And then golf came back. And it came back in such a big way across the United States. In Hawaii, we, of course, are so dependent on our visitor industry for the resort courses to do very, very well. We have 10% unemployment in Hawaii, so naturally disposable income, you know, isn't so disposable anymore. You need to keep it for food and essentials. But getting the guys back, you were talking in your article about now it's there's so many people want to play golf. They need more. Do they need more people at the PGA of America to run golf courses?
Well, no, I don't think so at this moment. But certainly through the, you know, after the initial shock and the initial shutdown, and then golf opened up again, it was astonishing what happened to the game around the world. Golf clubs that hadn't had a waiting list in years, if not decades, all of a sudden had a waiting list of people looking to join. Public golf courses had their tee sheets full from dawn till dusk. In the United States alone, it's estimated there were 50 million more rounds of golf played in 2020 compared to 2019. And people came to the realization that golf was good. It was outside. You could social distance. You could get some exercise. And as importantly, in the context of mental health, you could put the pandemic aside for a couple of hours and enjoy yourself. And so, you know, nobody wants to say that the pandemic has any silver linings, because I'm not sure it does. But golf sure benefited from it last year.
Yeah, when people discovered the outdoors and being able to walk and be with your family or, you know, kids. It's like one of, you know, my sponsors, Bayview, it's everybody. I saw everybody, the children with their parents that would probably never get together because teenagers don't want to be with their parents at some point. All, you know, there were just youngsters who are on golf teams, and they were out practicing, and the regulars were there, and the people. It was just, it was a great coming together, despite the difficulties everybody was, or is, I should say, is experiencing, as we still are. And speaking of young people, you are the, let's see now, all of a sudden it's gone out of my, the organization, American Junior Golf Association, AJGA.
Yep.
Yes. You're the president of the AJGA, and that's one part of the problem that we still haven't solved. So many kids can't get out and exercise, and that's a tough one. Has it affected your American Junior Golf Association?
We had at the AJGA, I'm the president of the board, I'm not the president of the organization. We had a rough go of it early on when golf was shut down. Our headquarters was closed, and so our staff had to learn how to work from home and you know, virtual office hours. We lost quite a few tournaments in the March, April, May timeframe. But I must say the staff of the AJGA did a remarkable job of coming up with health and safety protocols to ensure that the kids were safe. And it didn't take us very long to start hearing from parents who really appreciated the extreme levels that we went to make sure that their Jenny or their Johnny was safe and able to play AJGA golf. So we had a very, very good year, truncated to be sure, but you know, nobody came out of the pandemic unscathed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I thank you so much for sharing. I'm wondering if I'm leaving anything out. Is there something else you wanted to bring up?
No, I just wanted to speak to this, the content that we created. You give me credit, but really it's my staff, it's my team that wrote these tremendous pieces of content. And I think every serious golfer will enjoy reading about how the leadership of the game around the world pulled us through the pandemic. It's a great read.
It is a great read. And I thank you very much for bringing it to our attention and being on the show and talking with me. This is Jim Nugent. He is founder and publisher. How long ago did we start talking about Global Golf Post, Jim?
Danielle, we're in our 12th year. Where did time go?
That is incredible. 12 years ago, Jim and I started talking about his online golf magazine. It is free, and it comes to you Mondays. Just give him your email address. It's a great publication, and it covers the entire globe, the full spectrum of golf. And if you'd like to get something without any ads and extended writing, so you really get into the meat of things, there is GGP Plus, Global Golf Post Plus. And those are great articles with a lot of insight and depth that we're talking about right now. And you'll be able to get that online too. Just go to globalgolfpost.com. He is also the president of the board of the AJGA. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Cheers.
Cheers. We're going to come back. Speaking of cheers, Diana DeLucia, founder and editor and chief publisher, Golf Kitchen, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Maruyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
And we are KORLYNI, Honolulu.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
What does Spalding... Spalling. What's spalling? Well, it's cracks in the concrete. And what happens is water often gets where it goes where it wants. That's what water does. It's very destructive, even though it's this wonderful liquid. Gets inside that concrete and starts eating away. And then separation of concrete from spalling, or the concrete just starts breaking away. That's what spalling is. So what does spalling, cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceiling have in common with termites? They both just get a whole lot worse and a whole lot more expensive to repair if you don't do anything about it. So the answer is RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they've repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Yes, it can be fixed. They've stopped the leaks that caused the problem. Call Richard Mulgrum at 864-9520. 864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. They're COVID safe. 864-9520.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I promised you a vicarious trip to some really amazing places. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief, publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine, also fabulous coffee table books. Not only does she do interviews with the chefs, takes fabulous photographs, she also provides recipes. And you can get this magazine at golfkitchen.com. Golfkitchen.com. It is a fabulous gift for somebody you love, a foodie. You have no idea what to get them because they have everything in their kitchen. Welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me in 2021.
In 2021, I know, I was just looking. It's our first conversation. So I looked up Round Hill Club, not Round Hill Country Club, folks. No. It's Round Hill Club in Greenwich. This course was built in 1922 by Walter Travis and Emilio Straza, the greenkeeper, the key shaper for Travis. It was in 1960s, Robert Trent Jones touched. He added a water hazard on the 11th hole. When you go to this website, all you're going to see is members, guests. Even if you click on the guests, you don't get to see anything. That's how private this private club is. What was it like at Round Hill Club? Diana, take us there.
Actually, Danielle, it was such an honor to have the board's permission to do this story on Chef Dominic Keller. I was just like blown away. And I had been really wanting to break that barrier for a really long time. As you know, I like a challenge. But it was just a really surreal experience visiting the club. And I spent about 3 days working with them. And, you know, I'm excited to put that content together. Chef Dominic will be on the cover, which will be revealed in about a week or so.
Ooh.
And he's really talented, but they have a really good group of people there that they just have really good hospitality. It's a really strong family feel. Even the bartender, it was fantastic because she was from Melbourne, Australia, which, as you know, is my hometown. So we were two peas in a pod working together on cocktails. I had such a great time, and I'm looking forward to presenting those as well as Dominic's recipes.
You know, you said something to me that the chef is the main emphasis and not the club. And that is... that is really something. I hope I get to interview him.
Yeah, they're really into promoting their chef. Although they are extremely private club, it's a family. You must be a member. You must be a resident of Greenwich to be a member at the club. It's really family orientated, and I'm just so honored that they're giving me the green light to produce a story about their wonderful chef there.
Yeah, Dominic Keller. And will you be including some of his recipes? Is there a specialty he kind of likes to present?
No, I would say Dominic has a real kind of an Italian international influence, and you'll see that in his cuisine. And to be honest, I have been on a whirlwind tour of from Reynolds Lake Oconee to in Georgia to Round Hill and then to Bolter's Roll, New Jersey. I must have photographed about 30 different dishes and about 15 different cocktails in that time period.
And what is he? Diana DeLucia is also an award-winning food photographer. And when she says photographed, this is an art. She makes the food. You know, I can't do a food shot with my phone because I know what it would look like if Diana would actually take a picture. You're amazing. So, okay, you said Baltrazol. Yes?
But just to take going back to Dominic.
Yes.
That club at Round Hill is very healthy. And one of the interesting things that somebody said to me at the club was that a lot of their people are older, but they might be 70s or 80s. But she said they are the healthiest 70-year-old, 80-year-old she's ever seen ever anywhere. Because they eat healthy and they're out playing golf constantly. And they're, you know, they have this community, which, as you know, community is so important, particularly during these COVID days. And she really, like, gave accolades to chefs, you know, for keeping the membership healthy and yet still feeling like, you know, you're still eating, but you're eating really healthy, but you're also feeling very full, you know? I mean, the salads they have with the Alaskan crab was just sensational. And that was just a lunch that I had, which was, I loved it. It was amazing. I just wanted to throw that in.
You know, how do you keep your gorgeous figure? You get to eat in these most fabulous places. Okay, let's go to Baltrazol. This is a private 36-hole golf club in Springfield, New Jersey. It's about 20 miles from New York City. Founded 125 years ago in 1895, hosted the PGA Championship a couple times. There have been 15 USGA events, including 7 US Opens. Jack Nicklaus won twice, 2 times his US Open at Baltrazol, 67 and 80. He says, I shall always count Baltrazol among my favorite courses. It is certainly one of the finest in the world. So we've seen the course, but we've never been inside the clubhouse. Diana, what's it like?
I felt like a princess. I felt like I was a member of the royal family. I stayed on property for a couple of days, which was a real honor. And the place is one of the most historic properties I've ever seen. The clubhouse is about 80,000 square feet, I do believe. Wow. And it is absolutely stunning. And the memorabilia, as if you're a golfer and you love history, you somehow need to get yourself to that property because it is just full of golf history that, I mean, it's just the whole place is like a golf museum, except it looks like a royal palace.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I absolutely love it there. Now, one of the interesting things is they have had a rough few years because in 2019, they had they were doing some renovations and there was a fire and a flood came into the whole clubhouse and they lost half of the clubhouse. It was a disaster. They had to send much of their memorabilia and trophies to get repaired and cleaned. They had to repair and redo all these renovations that they had already renovated and had to do it all over again. And I was just thinking, I said to them, how did you emotionally cope with that, like seeing all of that happen? And, you know, kudos to them because they've done an amazing job at renovating and restoring everything. And it's likely way tougher and stronger and resilient than the clubhouse was before because, as you know, it's so historical. And it must have been very challenging then when COVID hit, because they had the 2019 floods and then this COVID situation. So, you know, kudos to them. They've done a fantastic job. And Chef Ed Stone, he's been there 17 years. He's a fixture in the club, and he's a great chef, but also very humble. I really enjoyed working with them.
Will they be in the magazine too, the one that's coming out?
Yes, they will. That's going to be a great story too. It's really a good mix of clubs, because we have this super private Round Hill, and then we have this amazing, incredible 7 US Open historical club that, you know, I never dreamed I would step foot in the clubhouse ever. And then we have the wonderful Lake Oconee, Reynolds Lake Oconee in Georgia, which in Greensboro, Georgia, which is a beautiful property. I think many, many golf riders have been to that property, and now I understand why it has the accolades that it does.
Yeah, it's a 12,000-acre club community with a rare mix of championship golf, friendly neighbors, lake culture, and climate. And it's distinguished by a special setting and slower pace. Now, when I saw the photos of it, it's like I'm going to a whole different world. It's, you know, I feel like I'm in, I don't know, going to the West. Some, you know, I'm like an explorer.
It's like that.
I want to go there. it's families are welcome. I mean, there's day trips to and virtual tours that you can take, spending a few nights on the property. It's called a lifestyle visit. Their team will do just about whatever they can do to create an experience best for you and your family, is how their brochure put it. And I thought, wow, that's, you know, and it looks so rejuvenating, like you're going to leave everything behind and come out feeling just more alive and wonderful.
Well, I had stayed in one of the four-bedroom cottages there that, I mean, it was just so relaxing when I was in the cottage. I just felt, you know, I needed this, because it's just been such a tough year for everybody. And, you know, that was my first flight since March. And, I was nervous to even get on a plane, but, at some point you've got to get back to, you know, life and just juggle around this whole situation. But it was, I had the most fantastic, must have been 7-course tasting menu at Reynolds at the National Tavern. And it was, it's a brand new eatery there, restaurant on property that Chef Darren Moore is at the helm of. But he also has a restaurant chef, Chef Zuhair, and he is from Morocco. And as you know, how much I love Morocco.
Yes.
So we're featuring one of his tangine chickens in the magazine, which is completely Moroccan. They even have a Moroccan night once a month. And, I mean, the things that they're doing there, because they're able to, Chef Darren Moore and Chef Zuhair, they're able to combine their international talents with different flavors, and they really experiment with flavors, and you'll see when you see the recipes. I know you've seen one of them on social media.
Yes.
It's so tidy and tasty. As you know, I love truffles. So I was blown away by that place, and I hope I can return again someday soon.
And there are 6 championship golf courses. I mean, all of that for the family and 6 championship golf courses. We have just a couple of minutes, and I wanted to just mention Clubs Help. You're on the board of directors with Rob Goulet, who created Clubs Help. It's kind of a private country club challenge, so to speak, where, you know, you can challenge another club to 100 holes and raise money for whatever the community you live in needs. So it's not something that, you know, you have to raise money then and give it all to the organization Clubs Help. No, this is something that they help you organize, and then you keep the money. I think there's just a small fee, but I'm not sure even if that exists. Mr. Goulet, such a good idea, and so much good has been done I just wanted to do a shout out about that. We need to talk more about Rob Goulet and Club's Help coming up soon in another show.
Yeah, we're actually running, they're writing a piece for the this issue as well. So you'll know the full Club's Help story in the next issue in March of Golf Kitchen magazine.
Excellent. And then Glen Arbor they've got their traditions in the wine award. Glen Arbor Traditions, is that their new wine?
No, they've had they've had that event. I think this was their third or fourth year, and we're doing a story on that event. And, you know, we've got some pretty interesting people doing quotes in that. I think the wine world is starting to really take us a bit seriously now. And, you know, I was speaking to Laurent Druin of Joseph Druin Wines, and he's going to be joining our team, and he will be helping us when we get to the Culinary Excellence Awards later this year. We're adding a wine club with the Best Wine List Award, and Mr. Druin will be assisting with that award because, obviously, you know, I'm not a wine connoisseur.
Well, you know, all we know is what tastes good. Right?
We leave it to the
I'm sorry we lost you. Did you say leave it to the professionals?
Yes, I did. I'm very impressed. I can tell you now, I've spoken to many of the sommeliers, and they said you couldn't have gotten a better person on board.
Really? Oh, that's great. And now I love the certificate that you showed me. Beautiful work you're doing. This is really exciting. And since I need to thank the people who make this show possible for us to be able to talk about all these great things, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank you for the work that you do to create Golf Kitchen. When's the magazine coming out, this issue?
We go to print the first week of March.
Fantastic. Gosh, we got to wait so long.
Well, it's a whirlwind.
It's all a whirlwind. Yes, it is. It is. And thank you, Diana DeLucia. I miss hearing your voice. I've got to call you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And let's thank our wonderful sponsors. Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Oahu's best value in golf, double-deck driving range, top tracer at each station, socially distanced on a covered range. So rain or shine, wind or not, you can go and hone your skills at Bayview on the course or off the course. And it's really fun at Bayview Golf Course. You can create the perfect team building experience as well. With an outing or a tournament at Bayview, just call the general manager. They'll help you. BayviewHawaii.com is their website. And the phone number is 247-0451. Aloha Power Equipment, moving sale, continuing until the store's empty. And today, everything Husqvarna must go. It's the Aloha Power Equipment moving sale, and it's at Sand Island. And then, of course, there's also the Waipahu store. So just go in, check it out, see what is on sale today, because, you know, they have everything you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, and blow it. What's worse than living with constant pain? And a lot of guys and girls are afraid to go to the doctor and find out what's really going on. And that's a shame, because it could be so easy to take care of. Not doing anything about constant pain is worse. So who do you see? Well, Dr. Jonathan Carlson. His number is 452-1379. The Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic is his in Kailua, where Aloha Spirit meets innovation and patient care, and he is always working on what's best for you. Flood or fire disasters, no, nobody wants to think about it, but when it happens, it blows your mind. That's why you must have MD Restoration's number on your refrigerator, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service, totally COVID compliant, mold remediation, flood, fire, dirty water cleanup, carpet, upholstery cleaning. They're licensed contractors, so you don't have to get anybody else. You can have them come in, do the restoration, remediation, and fix whatever needs to be fixed. MD Restoration, 528-3434. and the golf club, of course, our new sponsor, RCM Construction, 30-year leader in Spalling repairs across Hawaii. Spalling cracks in your cement, you want to get rid of them, trust me. It only gets worse if you leave it alone. It's not going to go away, and it really does just get worse. The number is 864-9520. I want to thank you for your mana, and thank you so much for listening to the show. That's what I'm saying, for your energy. And may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.